Hello, and welcome to the Oracle Cloud Podcast Cafe, where you'll get the latest information about cloud transformation and what the cloud means for your business. I'm Kelsey Ruppel, Product Marketing Director at Oracle, and today I'm again joined by Tanu Sood and Carlos Chang, who are both Senior Principal Product Marketing Directors at Oracle. This is another podcast in our Practical Path to AI podcast series, where we've been covering how artificial intelligence is reshaping the business landscape and help you better understand how to get on the path to AI adoption. Welcome back, Tanu and Carlos. So there's no doubt that we are in a time of transformation, given the emergence of breakthrough technologies such as artificial intelligence and machine learning. In your opinion, what have been the fundamental shifts in how users engage with business systems, and how can enterprises meet the new demands of digital engagement?
Thanks, Kelsey. Glad to be back. Thanks for having us again. You know, if we're looking at fundamental shifts, I like to look at things from a historical perspective and just dialing back things back just to give it some context. We all know that the going back a bit with the internet, it has obviously has connected everything. And then the smartphones that Steve Jobs really kind of introduced and broke new ground back in 2007 has really put computers in every pocket, right? And then now with more recently with the cloud, that's given us another trend or a fundamental shift, really, that has given us effectively infinite compute power within our grasp. As long as you can pay for it, you can pretty much have infinite compute power. So given all those things, people's expectations to interact with businesses has increased. It's to a 24/7, 365, across any channel, across anywhere wherever you may be. So, you know, while all these, you know, there's the whole idea of there's an app for that, right? There's no limit to what you can do with these apps. I think the shift that we're seeing today is what some have referred to as the post-app era, you know, where it's not just about the app, it's about conversational interfaces, whether you're talking to some sort of smart speaker or conversations through messaging, right? So messaging, the expectations are much higher, right? It's not a synchronous communication that you're having today. It's not an asynchronous, I should say, not like email or and such. It's more about having that conversation that has instant responses, right? So that is a fundamental shift, especially with the new workforce that's coming more prevalent, right? The so-called millennials, right? They're the biggest workforce generationally now. They've surpassed the boomers. So these guys expect, you know, they're digital natives, so they expect to be able to converse through more innovative platforms like messaging. So the only way to keep up with that is through automation.
Hello, everyone. This is Tanu, and I'm so glad to be back here with Kelsey, you, and Carlos, and to be talking about the exciting world of AI. And I'll pick up from where Carlos just left, where artificial intelligence is starting to have a significant impact in our lives. We are much closer to all the sci-fi movies in reality than we have been in the past. Whether I'm a consumer, an employee, or a citizen, I expect a smarter, more personalized, more engaging experience online, an experience that is completely tailored to my needs and my interests. I expect to get a complete picture of whether I'm buying a product or service or just researching information. I expect quicker responses from the vendors or from the people I'm dealing with. I expect personalized interaction on the channel of my choice, as Carlos said, around social and messaging as well, without having to worry about security of my credentials or my identity getting stolen. So organizations today are connecting their data, their processes, and their applications to pull together that complete picture for me as an employee or as a customer. And they are using AI-powered technologies to securely extend their reach to these new channels that Carlos just talked about, conversational interfaces like chatbots and mobile and web apps and dynamic sites and the like. And I feel like that's the new era for us.
That's great, Tanu. If I could add a little more color, just a little more color to that, because what you mentioned, expectations being very high, they really are very high because AI has been a sci-fi term that's been used for decades, right? Back into the 50s or 60s, right, with Star Trek, artificial intelligence. The consumer's expectations for AI are so high that we have to be very careful when we do introduce AI into the workforce, into the consumer, et cetera, because Sci-fi has kind of set the bar pretty high for AI to behave. So as we delve into the space, you know, one thing I wanted to add about Tanu's comment about expectations is this interesting shift with artificial intelligence is that the expectations are pretty high because science fiction, all the movies, all the books that we may have read have always referenced to artificial intelligence at one point or another. And that has kind of, influenced what consumers expect out of AI. So it's an interesting point, the expectations, and how we need to tread carefully here.
Yeah, I think those are some really interesting examples and insights that you both gave. And it sounds like in order to really take advantage of conversational AI and machine learning, you need to connect your enterprise and extend your reach into new channels and revenue streams and really leverage your existing investments in software as a service and on-premises applications in order to really innovate quickly without getting bogged down by IT complexity. But how can organizations achieve this today?
So let me get started on that. Remember, AI is only as good as the data it is fed. So the more data it captures, the smarter it becomes, the more intelligent it becomes. But the reality is that data resides across different applications, different data warehouses and such. So you need to be able to unify that data, collect it all, aggregate it all, and then run processes across it all to make it more intelligent. And then you need to be able to project this intelligence across the different channels that Carlos and I just briefly spoke about. So it could be the web apps, the mobile apps, the sites, intelligent chatbots, and the like. So if you wait for traditional methods of being able to connect all this data, making sense of this data, driving analytics on those, or creating processes across, or being able to build those new experiences across apps and sites, there is no way that you're going to be able to get it done. The intelligence is going to get stale and it's going to be useless. So you have to be able to leverage cloud technologies, technologies that are meant for users like you and I versus the developers, versus the core IT folks, that we can drive that innovation at the front end. And then take it one step further. Add automation and add artificial intelligence into whatever you're doing so that you and I are not bogged down by the lower-end tasks like trying to figure out the maintenance of it or how to do things. We just get things done, and some of the tasks, some of the mundane tasks, administrative tasks, but nevertheless required tasks, get taken care of the machines itself. I think that's the ideal examples of machines and artificial intelligence working together with humans today.
Yeah, I totally agree with Tanu on that point. It's I think the temptation of people or some folks when they try to implement this, the temptation they may fall into is to try to take a shortcut, in my view, is to try to do a point-to-point extension or connection using AI to some back-end system that they may be trying to expose. That is the temptation. It's a shortcut, right? You can go directly, build some shiny new chatbot or something like that directly to your application. And that may work short term. But I think when people are thinking longer term, when they're thinking more strategically, when they're thinking more about, hey, I'm not just going to be connecting this one application. I need to have an ecosystem of applications that are all working together, are all connecting. That way you have all that data that Tanu was referring to that you can collectively take all that data and make it all work together. And for that, you're going to need a platform. A platform, typically at this point, that you're going to have up in the cloud. It would be my thinking, because that seems to be the strong trend going that way. It gives you a more comprehensive way of looking at your strategy as you're trying to bring AI into your company.
So what do you think then is the reality of this in most organizations today? Are they embracing these technologies and a platform to connect, extend, and secure their applications and analyze their applications information?
I think companies, they understand, how to connect or integrate. It's pretty straightforward. They're doing it now. It's not necessarily easy, but it's fairly straightforward. And as new endpoints, new client endpoints come to the front, whether it be mobile or tomorrow it's going to be some other device, maybe AR devices or whatnot, security is always a concern. It's always going to be consideration. But again, security is not entirely unknown, right? It's at the forefront of people's minds, especially today. Most companies get this. Now, AI and chatbots they have become mainstream with the consumer. People are becoming more and more exposed to it. But for most companies, I think it's early days for most of them. There are some companies, I should say, that are focusing on innovation, very much so. And AI and chatbots are going to be a natural step for them. And the good news is that with the compute power that we have in the cloud, AI is no longer a science project. You don't need necessarily AI experts or machine learning experts, et cetera. All the tech vendors, especially Oracle, I would say, are providing the tools and services that make AI more approachable. So the existing staff that you may have today, the IT staff and experts and such, very approachable to bring AI into the fold.
I totally agree. And we're seeing examples of it all around, right, Carlos? Like, there's so many chatbots and different variations of how chatbots are being used in different organizations. One company is using it to drive event registration and get basic questions answered for attendees looking for more information or registrants looking for more information. Another company is looking at it to drive customer self-service and customer support. A third company could just be using it to improve the employee experience to be able to answer basic, you know, HR-related questions and such. So there's these variations of different use cases, but at the end of it all, it's that intelligence, it's the chatbot that's driving those kind of interactions. Similarly, on the website side, the use cases are just so amazing and so different from each other. One company is building up websites based on all the franchises that are coming up, and it's actually the end users that are building up these websites and, you know, dropping different logos based on who's sponsoring what or who's affiliated with whom and the like. So you're seeing a lot of transformation happening at the experience end where, you know, the customers meet the organization or the customers interact with your product and services or the employees do with the company information. You're seeing tremendous amount of transformation there. And that's kind of key. That's the key driver and acceptance and adoption of AI technology and digital transformation. But then, as Carlos said, connection is mainstream because unless you have all these applications and devices and processes and data connected, you're not able to create those experiences. And when you think about day-to-day news, you realize how key security is. There's so many instances of security breaches that we hear about or identity scams or frauds that you have to have security on top of your mind. And we're seeing time and again where companies are looking beyond just what applications are offering to up their security game. And again, data is data. Unless you drive intelligence out of that, unless you mesh it up and you start to create some, you know, dashboards or, you know, some sort of visual charts to make sense of that data, that intelligence is just going to stay within the data. So we are seeing constant adoption and increasing adoption of all of these technologies, of all of these use cases, but they're very disparate in how they're approaching the needs, how they're approaching the solutions.
Tanu, you mentioned the importance of data and intelligence and how it needs to really, you know, dive into that data and bring out that intelligence. Do you have any customer examples you could share with our listeners, perhaps ones that maybe are extending SaaS or unifying experiences across apps or maybe even utilizing chatbots?
I have to say, Kelsey, one of my favorites is Turning Point UK, and I just cannot stop talking about them. I'm just so amazed and personally invested and motivated into that because, I mean, that's a true example of technologies literally saving lives, literally saving lives. So Turning Point is actually a healthcare and social care provider in UK. It's a small to medium-sized organization, not-for-profit. And what the CIO, Amarjeet Dhillon, is doing there is that he's bringing all his expertise and all his knowledge from all the big companies that he's worked for, and he's invested in making sure that technologies are used to better lives of people. So he has invested most of his budget into cloud technologies. So from Oracle, they've picked up Oracle Service Cloud, but it's not being used in the traditional sense to have like service or help desk appointments. They're using Service Cloud to take appointments from mental health sufferers, for example, and to be able to get them in front of the providers as soon as possible. And they're seeing tremendous time savings from the time of a user or a sufferer reaches out to them to the time they actually are able to provide service to them. And then what they have done is they've actually connected and extended those services using some of our cloud platform technologies like chatbots, for example, where you know how most of us always have mobile devices on us. So if, for example, a person is having an episode and you know they're in crisis and they could be in a supermarket at that time, so they can discreetly use their mobile device, use chatbot, voice-enabled chatbot, to be able to connect to somebody at Turning Point and get immediate help and service right there. They're also using our content and experience part to, again, extend the SaaS applications that they've got to be able to whip up websites. So one of the things, and I think that will stay with me for the rest of my life because I'm a mom of two and I constantly worry about these things, is that, you know, street drugs are hitting the streets so often and so regularly and so frequently that it's very hard for any organization to keep up with that. So you have to be able to quickly whip up information about that particular street drug, how to combat that, how to help sufferers to resist that, or, you know, to help them overcome those challenges. So they have to be able to whip up websites. They have to be able to have consistent content across each of these websites across their geographical span to make sure consistent information is available to all the healthcare providers to be able to combat the latest street drug that has hit the market. And so they're using all our cloud platform technologies, but in such innovative ways, and they're connecting them back to the SaaS applications to be able to drive those extensions so they can actually save people's lives, because time is everything in this, right? The quicker you are able to get the service to these people, the more chances of, you know, helping them out or, you know, even saving their lives.
Yeah, Tanu, that's a turning point. That's a tough one to follow. I mean, it's an exciting company that's actually changing people's lives and saving people's lives, as you said. The example I would give is more, I have to say this, it's a bit more boring. Not that it's just a...
Don't say that, Carlos.
The example I would give is a company that's a bit more corporate-ish. It's a company called Exelon. It's a large conglomerate of power companies, right? They're using chatbots to better serve their customers. They're trying to, rather than manually responding to customer inquiries through agents, they're trying to automate that process. Especially during cases such as, you know, if there's a power outage in some area, right? Typically, when there's a power outage, you're going to get a flood of calls coming in trying to take care of things, right? So rather than infuriating the customer even further by having them wait on the phone to simply report an outage, what they've done is deploy the chatbot on Facebook Messenger. So that, you know, most people have, or a lot of folks definitely have Facebook Messenger. They can interact with the chatbot, ask for a status of their account, report the fact that there's an outage, get all that information that you would normally have with an agent, because the agent would typically be interacting with an existing back-end system. To get that information anyway and record that information, why not automate that 80% use case where the transaction is fairly simple? The chatbot can certainly handle that fairly easily, be able to find the status of it, report the outage of it, give estimate timeframes. All those things are coming out of a back end anyway. And Exelon was actually very, very smart about this. They were able to do a pilot of their chatbot very quickly in a matter of a couple of weeks to their back end systems because they were smart. They already had the REST endpoints available so that our technology could, our mobile cloud enterprise at the time, would be able to connect to very easily and deploy those chatbots so that they could show the executive management that they could do this very quickly. So their contact center, the use case would be they would reduce calls, increase customer satisfaction, and certainly a lower time in terms of responses when emergencies came up.
Well, thank you, Carlos and Tanu. It's been really interesting to hear your perspectives on all of these questions and also to hear those compelling customer examples. I've learned a great deal from our chat, and I hope our listeners have as well. I also wanted to thank our listeners for joining us today. To learn more about AI and what it means for the enterprise, be sure to tune in to the rest of our podcast series, A Practical Path to AI. You can find more information at www.oracle.com/cloudcafe. Until next time, this is Kelsey signing off.